one of the things that's on, I think, in the front of everybody's mind is being prepared for an emergency. And we have seen this in many aspects here in the United States in the last month or so. We have flooding going on along the Mississippi River.
Yes.
We have had tornadoes in North Carolina at an unprecedented level for this time of the year. We have seen thunderstorms that turned into supercells that did a whole lot of damage with wind and rain and so forth. And then we've got Osama bin Laden dead, and the terror folks that look after what's going on in the terrorism aspect of our country tell us that Al-Qaeda is increasing their activity. We don't have any specific threats that are in front of us. However, we are hearing more and more and more every day. In fact, I noticed this morning there was a tape of Osama that had surfaced that he recorded before he died. And the headline was, Osama Speaks from the Grave. So there's a lot of potential emergencies all around us.
And they're also predicting a very active hurricane season again this year. And that gets started. The season, of course, starts June 1st,
and so, 3 weeks down the road. And for those of who think, well, we're in the foothills, we don't have to worry about a hurricane, remember Hugo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. I remember that. That was so bad.
So there's a lot of reasons that people need to be thinking about being prepared. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that we have talked about, and you've been here before as we've talked about this, we've talked about some things that people say, oh, yeah, I understand that. But not many people do it.
Well, you know, I went to a seminar last week, and I have to admit it kind of stepped on my toes some, because he made the statement that as preparedness coordinators, our job is to train the community to be prepared. Mm-hmm. But how many of us actually had a completed emergency preparedness kit? Now, mm-hmm. I have an emergency preparedness kit, but when it talks about being completed, is it everything that I would need to survive a week or 10 days? No, I do not. There's things that I didn't have in there. So I went back and I reevaluated what I have and what I need. And and it's really funny, but I don't know if you watch the coupon shows where people go and they take their coupons they buy stuff. Okay. I realized as I was watching those people, coupon cutting, you know, something you have to want to do. But a lot of the people that were making stockpiles in a way were actually, you know, preparing. And a lot of them were doing it free with the use of coupons, just by being very diligent. But a lot of the times we forget the little things we need: toothbrush, toothpaste, our medicine, a screwdriver that would fit your eyeglasses. If you have to have eyeglasses, an eyeglass repair kit, would you have one? Would you know where to get one?
And could you survive or be able to function without having your eyeglasses
intact? Not very well, I can tell you. No, not very well.
You could not.
I know, I'm getting older, and the Sunday school book keeps going a bench up about every few weeks so I can see it.
Yeah, you're just hoping that your arms get longer in the process.
Yeah, right. I don't like that very much, but it's happening.
But it's so true that as I sit here, I am unprepared for an emergency.
Well, now let me tell you how you can start. Every time you go to the grocery store, or whoever goes in your home, most people buy about the same thing every time. Most of them have a standard. There's some things that are perishable that you know you could not keep in store, but you need to do the basics: water, some canned foods. If you eat tuna, buy an extra can of tuna or two every time you go. Tuna's great for protein. Buy some peanut butter. Put peanut butter back.
Long shelf life.
Long shelf life. And on your water, make sure if you buy galloned water that you rotate it out, because that would be good. And there are places online that you can order complete preparedness kits. And sometimes you can order the large kits that come, and they're dehydrated foods. They're kind of like MREs. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to prepare. But then again, remember the other things, like we talked about, your personal hygiene items. I mean, no one, you know, you feel bad anyway if you're stuck without electricity and everything. But you want to be able to brush your teeth, baby, or brush your hair, or, like I said, have your eyeglasses or your medications that you need. One of the things in in Katrina, that was a big eye-opening experience, was being able to get the medicine that you needed.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you go in a pharmacy and you say, hello, my name's John Wishon, and I'm here to pick up my prescription, they put it in the computer, and what you have comes up. Well, what happens is, without electricity, you're going to go in there and give them your name, and they're going to go, we have no clue. Do you know what you take? That's why it's also important to write down your medications, not just the name of them. Write down the name, the milligram, how often you take them, who prescribed them, and when your next refill's due. That still may not be a guarantee that you would be able to get them in the event of an emergency, but it would have the information in case the government came in or it was declared an emergency. There would be a way to backtrack what you actually needed and help you out.
Well, we saw entire areas, towns, cities, if you will, with these tornadoes, big, wide swaths of tornadic activity that just tore everything up. There were times when the parents were at work. There were two kids who were old enough to be home by themselves, but they were at home by themselves, and they were displaced after the tornado came through. Does your family have a plan as to where you're going to meet if you get separated? If there's no cell phone service, my BlackBerry's right here. I'm thinking I can get in touch with anybody I want to. But if something came through and knocked all the towers down, there was no power. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to think about.
There is. And one of the things you can do is there are a lot of wonderful websites. And if you're not website savvy, ask a friend or ask someone in your family. There's a website called ready.gov, and FEMA and the state monitor that website, and they add information. Currently, there's information on tornadoes. And I think it's really interesting because most tornadoes occur between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in the afternoon. So that would be prime time, you know, between 3 and 5, when those kids would be at home, and they would be by themselves. But ready.gov will actually print you out your own plan. It will allow you to know what to do, where to meet, how to handle a tornado. It goes into flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, every topic that you can imagine, including bioterrorism, is on ready.gov.
Well, there are so many things like that that we don't think about sometimes. But if, you know, think about what would happen, you know, if you and your kids were, you know, for whatever reason, your kids were in one place, you were in another, you couldn't communicate with them. Would they know what to do? Do they know what to do if they're home alone and they hear a tornado warning? Where do they go? What do they do? Do we have a basement? If you don't have a basement, go to the most interior wall of the home.
And, you know, so many times, I mean, what you're saying, what Donna's saying, I mean, we really don't, like Donna was talking about, maybe her kit wasn't totally complete. We don't really think about these things a lot of times. Until, you know, you've heard the old saying, you know, you don't close the gate, the door at the barn until after the horse gets out. And many times we do that. We don't think and prepare and be prepared for these emergencies.
And then it's too late.
Yeah, it is too late.
And,
that's right.
You know, you hate to mention this kind of stuff, but we're living in a day where you can't trust anybody, even in an emergency.
Well, to be honest with you, the storm that came through Wilkes County, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, that destroyed the barn in Moravian Falls? I was sitting there during that storm thinking about it, and although Wilkes County has been very fortunate and we have not experienced a lot of devastation, we have a population here in our county that really needs to realize we have good resources, but we need to be able to take care of ourselves for a little while because we're kind of isolated. So we really do need to prepare. And if you have a plan is only good as the practice. So you can pin up a plan on the wall all day, but if you don't help your children and your family understand, this is how the plan works. You do this, then you do this, and then you go outside. The great news is I've given out my email address before, but if anyone wants to email dshumate@wilkescounty.net, I have some brand new plans that you can actually just check off things, and that is your plan, and it's called a disaster preparedness plan for individuals, and it works really well.
Well, it makes a whole lot of sense think about it now. Think about it while the sun's shining, it's clear outside, when you're not trying to say, hey, we're scattering around trying to get this thing done a day before you hear that this thing is coming. I mean, you know, God forbid this ever happened, but I was thinking about this same thing as these floods are coming down the Mississippi River.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we are right here in the studios of the radio station, right here on the banks of the Yadkin River. What would happen if we had such terrible floods upstream that W. Kerr Scott Dam had to start releasing a whole bunch of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things right here along the banks of the Yadkin River that would be in trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
There would be. There are many, many floodplains
yep.
in Wilkes County. Do you remember when Hugo came through and the W. Kerr Scott actually did have to let a lot of water out? Do you remember the fields flooding up 268 and West Park having all the water in it?
Ted May, I was not living here at the time. I was in Surry County, but you remember that?
Yes, I do, and I remember so many different problems all around, and with the floods, and then with all the trees and everything down on the roadways, and people couldn't get out to leave, and emergency couldn't get in many cases, because all the roads were either blocked with trees or, like you say, in some areas, blocked with water.
Good information. We're going to take a break for birthdays, and then we're going to come back and talk to Donna about, she has no idea what we're even going to talk about this morning, but I want to talk a little bit about how the county is prepared. What things did they have in place should they hear of this, that, or the other happening? We'll talk more about that coming up in just a couple of minutes right here on Hometown Christian Radio. So that's what we're talking about. We've went over some things about ready.gov. You can go on there and get a plan for your family and then sort of tweak that to your own family's needs. But let's talk about a little bit about what our local municipalities and county has in place in the event of a widespread disaster. I know a few years ago when there was the widespread power outages and a winter storm that we had, and it lasted for several days, many days. Emergency shelters were set up in yes. pretty short order over here at Woodward and at C.C. Wright schools, some different places around the area. Donna, what's in place should there be a widespread disaster?
The way the county is set up, we have several things in place. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that we've talked to before say, tell us the structure of how the county is arranged. Emergency management is in charge of our county in making sure that we have the things we need, such as shelters and plans that would encompass any aspect of any type of an emergency. And then there's public health, which is what I do. Public health focuses on things that would be detrimental to public health. And what that really does for us is give us a total blanket of plans that cover everything from tornadoes to flooding down to bioterrorism to H1N1, which we had and we do not wish to see again. But it allows us to develop plans to help the community. It also allows communication systems to be developed. If something happened and we saw ahead of time, okay, we're going to need to open shelters, would there be a way to communicate with the public? You guys are an excellent way to communicate with the public, and you're actually in our emergency preparedness plan. And I even have your name and phone number listed, by the way. So if you get, you know, if there's anything that you need that to announce to the community, you would be notified.
Absolutely. And we have our own emergency preparedness plan in place with generator power here at the radio station, generator power at our transmitter, because we realize that local radio is a vital link and
yes.
sometimes could
mm-hmm.
be the only link
yes.
Right.
Yes.
to the people in this county. There's a change coming to the emergency alert system.
Yes.
That's going to happen. I'm not very happy about it from the standpoint of it's going to give the President of the United States the ability to take over our radio station anytime he wants to. I don't like that aspect. I don't think any president needs it because broadcasters want to inform the people in their community when something's going on. And for us to get a request to put the president on to speak, for us to say, nah, we're not going to do it, that's crazy.
Oh, that is. I wasn't aware of that.
They don't have to be able to take over what we do. We want to get the information from the president to the public. That is coming, and it's a new, about a $4,000 venture we're going to have to spend on, and which you know, we upgraded a few years ago. That system's worked out pretty good, and this will probably have some improvements. But there are things in place. Bioterrorism is a threat in the day that we live. And 10 years ago, nobody would have even heard of bioterrorism.
Right.
And, you know, you can sit and you can stop and think for a moment where you were on 9/11. And I remember that empty, isolated, lonely feeling that hit when I understood what was going on. Because where was my family? Were they okay? Did they know what to do? Would I know what to do? And that's one reason that there are a lot of resources out there now, or since 9/11. We've tried to give people resources to use. The health department actually has a helpline number that you can call. And if there's a current situation going on, you can call the helpline number and receive additional information. There's a website called WilksHealth.com. You can pull that up and get additional information on anything that's current. Then there's places like ready.gov, and then there's you guys. And then yesterday I learned about a wonderful system that the state's promoting. If anyone out there listening has always wondered, you know, in the event of an emergency, I am a registered nurse that's retired, but I'd want to help. How can I get involved? Mm-hmm. There is a website. Yesterday I received administrative rights. It's called ServNC. If anyone, again, wants to call me, I can sign them up. What it does is it puts you on a registry, checks your credentials, and allows you to be notified if there's a possibility that you could go somewhere and help someone.
Yeah.
And you do not have to go every time. They give you an option. If you can't go this time, would you like to be notified the next time?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful system, too. But it's all part of that major plan to allow communication to flow through the whole community.
And you know, since 9/11, you've seen that our emphasis change from just are you ready, but are we all ready, and are we all ready collectively to know what to do? And I think that's been a good change.
Community resilience is the way they have entitled my next five-year project. It's for the next 5 years, is teaching the community to be resilient, to be prepared and be resilient. And we have great resources. It's just we need to figure out a way to get those resources so that everyone in the county understands I have this, this, and this available.
Yeah.
So that will be my next project over the next five-year grant period, is to help people understand, you know, these are the resources and what can I do to help? Because it would be a community effort. If you stop and look at the places the tornadoes came and it wiped out neighborhoods, it wasn't just the people in the neighborhoods there helping. It was the whole community at large. They're helping each other. So we need to learn to be more as a group. And I also received my CERT training, which is a community emergency response team training. So I can actually train people now in the community to make their own teams, to have their own community teams to go out and help in the event of emergency. And it's a wonderful program as well. There's many things out there that we can do to be prepared.
You were going to ask something, Ted?
She pretty much covered it, but I was just going to ask, Donna, like with mass casualties or with a tornado that maybe flattened an entire community or area, and maybe you got, you know, several people that have been killed and hurt. And, of course, I'm sure that this may be a hospital question, but I'm sure that Wilkes County has a plan to separate and treat these injured people in a tornado or something like that, and would be able to handle a situation where you got lots of people.
We are so blessed in Wilkes County. Our hospital has moved forward with such great strides in the past few years on preparedness. The preparedness efforts at the hospital have just increased to the point that I'm just so proud of everything that they're doing. Yes, we have that capability. The hospital has something called a surge plan. If they have plans just like we do, and if they have overflow, they have additional facilities that they can open. They can handle the overflow. We have the capability of using resources from the state called state medical assistance teams that can come in. We can triage on site. If we had to set up a triage station on site where something had happened, that's possible in a very short period of time. So if you look at the resources we have, the biggest issue I see is learning how to tie everything together and notify the community. That's why things like this are so important. Mm-hmm. I want people to understand they can help. They can do something. First, protect yourself. Have your own preparedness kit. Have your family ready. But then there's other things you can do to help the community.
To be involved. And again, Donna, your email address, if somebody wants to get involved with becoming a volunteer in the event of an emergency, if they have credentials to help in the way of health or whatever, is there other things like for debris removal or whatever that the average Joe could sign up for?
Yes. They actually, you can sign up as a firefighter, a nurse, a doctor. Then there's several categories. I don't know them all by heart because yesterday was the first time I'd actually gone through them. But, yes, there are. And if you would be interested, and again, if it's something that requires credentialing, though, you're going to have to give me enough information and be willing to give me about 15 minutes of your time to be able to get you enrolled.
It makes a whole lot of sense. Donna, thanks for coming by. And what's the email address again?
It's dshumate, S-H-U-M-A-T-E, at wilkescounty.net.
All right. Let's do it again, and hopefully in a few months update everybody, and as we find out more about this program and see how your response is. But good information this morning. We appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Donna.
You too.